Alex, very excited to have you on the call today and the opportunity to have a conversation. How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm doing very well. Thank you for having me, Ivan. Thanks for the invitation.
So first of all, as some introduction here, I've been a subscriber to your newsletter and a couple of your other offerings for a while now and have been really monitoring things very well and also have taken action on some of your more recent sort of recommendations, if you want, or your signals. And I can't help but report that the latest one that I really took to heart is when you went in one of your signals, and I know exactly when it was January 4th, in your recommendation was we go net short on Bitcoin. As you know, I'm quite active in the space. I said, oh, well, that's interesting. So I took a position there. And lo and behold, as of right now, I'm sitting on an open position of 20% return in the current downturn in the space. So, and there's just one example, but I think it's very telling. So before we go into the details of what really sort of trend following really is and what you actually do, why don't you give us a little bit of background of who is Alex Craner? Where do you come from? And you know, how did you get into this thing called trend following?
Yeah, good question. So I'm a former hedge fund manager. I used to run a variety of hedge funds over a space of about 15 years. And the whole thing is, for me, it was always based on systematic trend following. And that's why you have a profitable position in Bitcoin. I started my career 25 years ago in oil trading. Mm-hmm. So I worked as a trader for a Swiss-based commodity house here in Monaco, where I'm still based. And since I was the most computer literate person in the whole group, they asked me to try to develop some kind of a systematic approach to trading because their chief problem was exposure to the price of oil and mm-hmm. currencies as well. And so they wanted me to develop some kind of a systematic way of trading where they would make more money when they're on the right side of the market than they lose when they're on the wrong side of the market. And sure. Basically what I did then, I put together a team of software engineers and, you know, scientists. And we started from a blank sheet of paper. We had no idea how we're going to solve the problem. But basically over about 2.5 years of research of all kinds of quantitative ways to analyze markets, to trade, to, you know, generate profits from this and that, the thinking just kind of converged on trend following. And so we designed this thing that I still use to this day mm-hmm. called the I system. And this is what has allowed me to enter into the hedge fund industry, because once I put together the I system, I was able to trade any market, not just oil, trade gold and silver and stocks and bonds and currencies. And so the logical move from there was to go into the hedge fund industry. And for about 15 years, I've had good success in the hedge fund industry. But today, my activity is going in the direction of providing investors with direct decision support, which is how you came to find my newsletter.
Yeah, and if I may, can you explain a little bit what is trend following really, and as you compare it to, for instance, more, I guess, fundamental investing, right? What is it, and why does it work so well, actually?
Well, it works well because basically, for a variety of reasons, basically trends are far and away the most powerful drivers of investment performance. I mean, this is not something they teach you in school, but this is something that you learn the hard way when you spend enough time observing and analyzing markets. And I think that for ordinary investors, they can recognize trends when they see that, for example, they see this thing called Bitcoin that goes from $20,000 at the beginning of last year, or even less, maybe, to $67,000. Well, that was a trend, and it didn't happen overnight. It happened over a period of time, which is what I call a large-scale price event. Large-scale right. price events always unfold as trends because they span a period of at least several months, sometimes years. And you see that all the time. You see that all the time. Bitcoin is just one example. You saw it in Apple, Google, Microsoft. You saw it in crude oil, gold, copper, prices of cobalt, currency pairs. You saw it in the U.S. Treasuries interest rate. You even see it in markets like the housing market, house prices, used car prices. You see it absolutely everywhere because trends are always there. Trends are part of what makes trends are the result of human cumulative psychology.
Right.
And they've been with us since the dawn of civilization. You know, like you have The Art of War, the book that was written more than 2,000 years ago, And Sun Tzu says there are three avenues of opportunity: events, trends, and conditions. So trends are one of the three major avenues of opportunity that were identified already 2,000 years ago. And they're with us today, as we can see practically everywhere around us.
And so your system, is it fair to say that the signals that you give is really there to, you know, capture the beginning and the end of these trends, or vice versa, depending on when you want to go long or short, and does that in sort of a quant kind of way, so no value-driven signals? Is that the way to look at it?
Well, yes and no. Basically, with trend following, you will never catch the start of the trend, and you will never catch the end of the trend. Basically, when you look at a trend, it's very rare that you can say with certainty that some market is trending. What you usually get is some kind of a judgment. You know, you have a judgment when you look at a price of something, and that judgment basically comes at some level of confidence. You know, like if the trend is already well advanced, then maybe you'll be certain that you're looking at a trend, but that's not necessarily the best time to trade it, right? So basically, there is some level of confidence that justifies taking a risk. And this is what you can calculate pretty accurately if you use the systematic quantitative way, whereas if you do it subjectively and you just wait to be sure, usually you will miss large parts of a trend move. You will come in late, and this is why trend following is not so easy to do in a discretionary way. So our system basically generates a numerically exact judgment of trend in any given market. It has the optimal confidence level at which you go ahead and take a risk. And then it generates systematic buy and sell signal based on market events. And it does it according to rules that are tested at least 20 years back, right? So when you get a signal, it doesn't mean that it's the right signal that day. It just means that that kind of a signal has consistently generated profitable trading over a very long stretch of time. So it's very likely that it will continue to generate profitable trade, even though individual trades themselves are basically 50-50. You know, you'll get one profitable trade, one unprofitable trade. But with trend following, the trick is that when you're right, when you get the profitable trade, you let the profits run. Whereas when you get the trade wrong, you cut off, you take a stop loss, or you reverse the position. And so over long periods of time, regardless of what you trade, by using systematic trend following, you can build your portfolio, and your profits can compound very, very significantly with enough time.
Right. So the way I see it is that it really takes the emotions out of your decisions, right? And as we all know, most people trade on emotions, and it's mostly the wrong thing to do. People would think that the strategy is sort of, okay, that's easy. It's, you know, buy low and sell high, and sounds great. But as we all know, retail investors primarily, they always start, you know, buying towards the end of the trends, and then, you know, don't get out soon enough when things turn around. Whereas a trend following system really allows you to take all these emotions outside of the sort of the decision process, and really gives you the necessary tools to take action, you know, the right actions at the right time to capture the bigger part of this move, whether it's up or down. And so from that perspective, I think it's a very cool thing that it's still largely unknown by the vast majority of investors, right? Because it's obscure, but it's still underexposed in the market. And I just wanted to maybe come back to the example that I've read about and that you've discussed also in the past. If we talk about Warren Buffett as sort of the greatest, you know, fundamental value investor in our lifetimes, your argument is that actually he's a big trend follower. Maybe you want to, you know, expand on that or talk a little bit more about that example, because I think that tells you everything you need to know.
Yeah, I think this is the surprise to most people, and they usually don't take me seriously. And it was a big surprise to me as well. So basically, many years ago, I picked up The Intelligent Investor, and I read the whole thing. And I think that I read it probably a bit more carefully than most people do, right? And what I discovered is that Benjamin Graham actually was not a value investor. He owed his outperformance entirely to one single stock, which was Geico. Mm-hmm. And that one single stock has generated more profits for Benjamin Graham than all of the other value investment he has done throughout his career. He says that himself in his own word in the book Intelligent Investor. And that one stock, the Geico, was basically a momentum play, because this investment alone has generated Jerome Newman's and Benjamin Graham's outperformance. If you strip that one out, their whole performance has been less than Standard & Poor's. So they were underperformers without Geico. And when I then analyzed a little bit Warren Buffett's investing style, I found out that he is also a momentum player. And he also made very heavy investments in Geico. And the fact that Geico was very, very heavily overvalued by his standards didn't bother him. In 1996, he bought 50% of Geico at peak valuation, and that proved a winner. So this is what is called momentum investing, which is just another name for trend following. Basically, what you do is you buy stocks that go up, and you keep them for as long as they go up. And you can easily understand why that makes sense, because if you invested, for example, in Tesla in 2011, and you just sat with it, regardless of what you thought about Elon Musk, about Tesla's management, about the quality of their car, about their business plan, about their marketing and sales, about the fact that they've been losing money hand over fist until last year, that stock would have turned $1 invested in 2011 into $120 today. Just over 10 years, right? Similar math on Amazon, Apple, Microsoft, Google top performers. They were middle 60%. And then they would recalibrate the portfolio once a month. So they would always pick top 20% stocks, and then the next month recalibrate top 20% and so forth. And they would roll this portfolio over from the year 1900 until 2009, so for 109 years. And so what they found is that the bottom 20% of stocks would have turned £1 invested in the year 1900 into £49 by 2009. Mm-hmm. But the top 20% of stocks would have turned £1 into £2.3 million. And that is without taking into account any fundamentals, company management, sales, marketing, profits, nothing, just the performance of the stock. And so the difference in performance compounded over 109 years was more than 10%. And then they went and redid the same study over another 17 of the largest Western stock markets, and they found the same results with great consistency. And so this momentum of investing is nothing other than trend following. You buy what goes up, you sell what goes down. And that makes a lot of sense. That's what made Warren Buffett an outperformer. That's what made Benjamin Graham an outperformer. But unfortunately, trend following seems like a fringe thing, because it doesn't fit with this Cartesian reductionist way of thinking that needs to have everything quantified, sure. Because trend following it depends a lot on judgment heuristics, right? You can't really, it's very difficult to describe what a trend is, because it arises from people's cumulative psychology. So the academia doesn't like trend following. They don't teach it in school. They essentially ignore it. But if you're managing your own portfolio, if you're an investor, you're much better off looking into trend following, because not only will it protect you from your emotion, it will also protect you from your opinions when they're wrong, because, you know, you're not always going to understand what's going on in the market, and very often you're going to get it wrong. Well, with trend following, you can get you have at least that correction, that second opinion that can keep you safe.
Great stuff. And I would also argue that the timing for, let's say, applying your systems or the technology or the approach today couldn't be more sort of timely, right? Because we've seen markets, pretty much all markets, have been stretched and overvalued for a very long time. And we see over the last couple of days and weeks, actually today, I think things are turning around. And once they start turning around, because of the massive overvaluation over a long period of time, where you would like to have been long, right? And some people who have, adjusted to this approach probably have. The same applies obviously on the downside. And now, wouldn't you agree that it's extremely sort of timely to look at this approach with the kind of markets that we have, right? Also in light of the sort of the inflationary environment, maybe that you can comment on that as well. But I would think now more than ever, it's sort of probably one of the few sort of approaches in investing that probably can save you from losing a lot of money if you're more, you know, compared to the more fundamental approach that most people go with.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with that, because today we're looking at a number of scenarios that could become very ugly for investors. First of all, we are indubitably in the final phases of an equity bubble. And what we know about equity bubbles that each and every one of them throughout history has ultimately burst. And usually the aftermath is very ugly, you know, losses that can approach 90%. The great thing about trend following is that you can make money on the downside, right? Because at a certain point, you know, you get the signal that the market has reversed, and you can go short, and then you sail along with the bear market and profit from it. You don't need to know when it starts. You don't need to know where it bottoms. You just go along with trend following signal. Also, we are heading into an inflationary environment. Inflationary environment means that basically the purchasing power of the US dollar is going to be declining steadily for we don't know how long and we don't know how much. But what happens in these environments is that prices of commodities are going to take off, things like oil and gold, silver, copper, agricultural commodities, and so forth. Now, trading all these markets would be difficult if you wanted to look at market fundamentals, because you cannot follow the market for coffee and cotton and oil and gold and so forth. But if you learn how to do trend following, then you can simply analyze the charts and you can trade any market that you choose. And for people to protect their wealth from the ravages of inflation, you should strongly consider taking meaningful exposure to the prices of commodity futures. Again, energy, metals, agricultural commodities. And then another scenario why related to energy is that we're also looking at an energy crisis that might fester for some years. I've read a report by the UK Department of Defense, which predicts that the price of a barrel will rise to $500 by 2040. This is a very, say, rigorous analysis of the industry fundamentals that led them to the conclusion that we are going to be facing a severe energy crisis in the near future, and it's not going to go away very soon. And similar studies were done by the American military and German militaries, and they all reached the same conclusion, with the only exception that American and German militaries didn't try to predict the price, whereas the British one did. And then the fourth reason related to what we're talking about is that many analysts today anticipate that we're entering into what they called a commodity super cycle. Mm-hmm. This is the cycle that might last between 10 and 25 years, that could cause commodity prices on the whole to rise, let's call it tenfold or more. So all of these events are going to have very, very severe impacts on the markets, on interest rates, on stock prices, on the value of the US dollars. And for investors to protect their wealth and to be able to navigate what's coming our way and which nobody can predict, you know, timing and the magnitude of events are simply unpredictable. But by using trend following, you can navigate these events with confidence, with peace of mind, without getting emotional and stressed about it, without depending on people's opinions, analysis, and so forth, and continue to generate strong positive returns. The last financial crisis in 2008 was the second year of my track record as a hedge fund manager. And in that year, if you remember, the S&P 500 declined by something like 50%.
Sure.
Most investors took very severe losses. Most hedge funds lost money. And because I was using systematic trend following, my portfolio delivered a positive plus 27% return to investors.
Wow.
Gross, about 35%. So for all those reasons, it's very advisable to look into trend following, to treat it at the very least as your second opinion on the markets, and as a compass to tell you, Are you in the bull market? Are you in the bear market? And so forth.
Very interesting. Let's turn now to really sort of one of your services, right? The newsletter that I'm subscribed to, that I'm receiving every single day. So you obviously, you deliver services to some institutional clients as well, but you also have a product for what I call high net worth individuals that really sort of on a daily basis gives you an actionable plan on what to do, right? So it's all about diversification, clearly, but maybe can you quickly explain on what the newsletter actually captures, what you want to do there, and how it also shows with the heat map and the signals on how exactly it helps investors in a very easy way with an actionable plan on what to do on a daily basis.
Yeah, so basically what's always bothered me a little bit about this pundit class in the markets is that you get a lot of opinion, you get a lot of analysis, you can spend all day, every day analyzing and still being kind of torn between how to position yourself, how much risk to take, and so forth. Whereas your performance is going to depend on the decisions you actually execute on the markets, right? And so basically what I've aimed to do using the iSystem is for every market that I track, I've developed a set of strategies based on short cycle, medium cycle, and long cycle trends. And I put together a portfolio covering select group of markets with all these strategies. And every day, these strategies, they collect pricing data from the markets, and then they produce a decision. Mm-hmm. All right. And so basically, subscribers to my newsletter, they get every day what their exposure to a given market should be. And then every day comes also with the decisions. You should reduce your long exposure here. You should add your short exposure there. Or you should reverse from net long to net short, or vice versa, so that every single day, investors know what they have to do in the markets, what their exposure should be. And they also know that this is all based on a set of rules that are thoroughly tested and that have generated track record. I have my track record has been superb. I have consistently outperformed my industry benchmark, including the blue chip managed futures funds, mm-hmm. which were tracked by Dow Jones Credit Suisse some years ago. So basically, this is high conviction decisions that traders can use and follow and apply, and then they can entirely check their emotions, opinions, convictions at the door and follow the trends. And if the markets collapse, you'll be short, you'll profit from the market collapse. If the markets are in a bull run, you're going to make money in the bull run. And that applies to gold, silver, oil, copper, Nikkei, S&P 500. I cut a total of about 200 markets.
Okay. One of the things that I also wanted to mention here, one of the expressions that you know, at times use is trends are the most important determinants of performance, and systematic trend following is the best way to capture those movements. I thought it very well, you know, captures sort of the thinking of the process, right, and why it tends to work so very well.
Yeah, well, that actually fully reflects my conviction. So my conviction is that trends are far and away the most powerful drivers of investment performance, and that systematic trend following, I have to accentuate, is by far the most reliable way to capture value from trends. Sustainably and reliably. So not just this year because you caught a market, you know, here or there, but for very, very long, over long, long stretches of time. Right. And so that is my convictions, and my newsletter and my system were built on that conviction. And, you know, it's not from yesterday. I've been using iSystem daily since 2003. It has never glitched. It's extremely reliable. I've never tinkered with the algorithm. So it's exactly the same thing as I have used throughout my hedge fund career. It has a track record. It didn't just come out of a workshop yesterday. It's a very tested engine.
I also wanted to mention that on a daily basis in your newsletter, which I find equally interesting, is that you have a very brief, so one paragraph comment, which is more qualitative, right, about you know, geopolitics. It can be about certain moves in the market. What is the thinking behind that, right? Because I think it's more qualitative. It's not quantitative there. But why do you add that? What's the purpose of that comment? Why do you think it's helpful? I think it's great because it basically tells you, you know, the one thing that you want to know that happens that day. But, you know, maybe you want to say something to that as well.
Well, I have to confess, my original idea with the iSystem Trend Compass, the newsletter, was that it should give you your decisions and recommended exposure in 30 seconds a day. Mm-hmm. So you get that newsletter. It's kind of designed so that on a glance, you see what you have to do, what your exposure should be, and you're done. Because it's exactly, I wanted to spare traders having to read this long, elaborate analysis and my opinion and blah, blah, blah. And so for several months, I published the letter with no commentary whatsoever. But then, you know, there are certain events going on in the world right now that are so important that I, you know, like I really keep a close eye on them. I come from the oil industry. I always pay attention to the energy markets, which are then related to the geopolitics and so forth. And, you know, like former Fed Chairman Arthur Burns said that, like, it's not just the statistics and analysis alone that determine how you perform. It's also understanding the great historical events that are actually unfolding. And so I, on a few occasions, I would write a very short paragraph to just alert my subscriber, well, look, this is going on now. And then I got a lot of feedback saying like, oh, hey, you know, like, I love it when you actually write something. Sure. And then I was in a dilemma because I felt like, okay, so the market is telling me, we want you to tell us, you know, a few words, but my product's identity is to give you your trades and your decisions on a glance. And then I kind of thought like, well, okay, you know, what if I came to your door and delivered this newsletter in hard copy format? I wouldn't just put it in your hand and walk away, right? We would spend a minute saying like, hey, how's it going? Did you see the markets? And this happened and that happened. So regardless of what was in that newsletter, it's the human thing to kind of exchange information, to have a chit chat. So you're right. The commentary is qualitative, but I include it because people like to read it. And I include it because I suppose it's kind of the reason why people like to read it is exactly this dimension that people kind of like to know each other. You know, they like to exchange some views and opinions. And also because I think that we are now in the period of historical events that are truly remarkable. You know, like everything we learned as traders and investors over the last 40 years, you know, you've had like interest rates coming down practically in the straight line. You had this process of globalization. You had the appearance of China, which has taken inflation off the radar for two decades, in spite of this tremendous economic growth and tremendous quantitative easing and pumping of money and so forth. And now it seems that all of these events are coming to a head. And not only that, we're having huge events going on geopolitically where everything, you know, like basically the order, the way things were in the world for the last two centuries about is coming unraveled. You know, the old alliances are coming apart. The new alliances are coming together. This is not being accurately reported in the news. You know, the news actually want to distract you away from this, which I think is a disservice to investors.
Sure.
So if you noticed, my commentary went from one paragraph to maybe three or four paragraphs and some charts and some analysis and links to my video reports and my longer articles and so forth. But I think it's all very important. But at the same time, you know, like you can't trade those things. You can't trade energy crisis because you don't know how to remind the readers. Less than 2 years ago, in spite of the fact that fundamentally nothing much changed, we had oil prices collapse by 80% in the space of 2 months. And none of the fundamental analysts that I read, but literally none of them had predicted this.
Sure.
And companies like Vitol and Ryanair, and that's like dozens and dozens of companies took multi-million dollars losses, billion-dollar loss. Vitol allegedly lost $1.6 billion. That was the rumor. They deny it. But that's because they saw the oil price trading between, you know, $60 and $70 forever. And then when it collapsed to less than 30, they were completely unprepared. Well, iSystems strategies generated more than $42 per barrel positive return because they didn't depend on my opinion.
True.
They just read the trend and it said the trend is down. So then you go short. And if you go short in the downtrend, you make a lot of money. So we did. And so anyway, you know, trend following makes a lot of sense. For your listeners who may not be familiar with trend following, I would highly advise them to look into that. I had two books listed on Amazon on trend following, but Amazon has delisted me. So now they are available for investors free of charge on my website and on the About. If they look at About on the iSystem trend following website, they can download those books for free and read it. One of my books was received a reward this year as the best book for on commodities for investors and traders for 2021. So it's quality prose. It's they're well-written books. It's not fluff. And for traders and investors who may not be familiar with trend following, I would highly advise them to have a good look. And then, you know, with regards to my newsletter, I would encourage them to subscribe. First month is always free of charge. And there's a landing page where they can put in their email and they'll start receiving that email free of charge.
Perfect. No, that's very helpful. And yeah, we'll make sure to put in the exact links to the resources we discussed when I post this conversation, maybe in the 2 or 3 minutes that we have left here. What are your three biggest, most convinced trading recommendations right now based on your systems? Where do you see the biggest moves happen in sort of the next 12 to 18 months based on your knowledge and on your systems in any space?
I would say definitely long precious metals. I would say short treasuries because I see interest rates rising. So the prices of the treasuries are probably going to go down further. And I think also long energy. I think that the energy prices are going to go up higher, much higher, even though, you know, currently oil prices are close to a peak for the last 2 years. So that's not an easy trade to make. You know, when you've seen oil price rise as strongly as it has done, to buy at those peaks is a difficult decision to make.
Sure.
But definitely gold and silver, I would close my eyes and buy it because I think it's going much, much higher.
Perfect. Well, on this happy note, thank you so much, Alex, for coming on and for the time spent here. I think this is great conversation. Looking forward to obviously having more of these interactions on a regular basis. And yeah, good luck with the business. But we'll be in touch soon. And again, was great to have you on.
Ivan, thank you for the invitation. Hearty greetings from Monaco to you and to your listeners as well. And I'll be happy to jump on a call in the near future. I assure you the times will be interesting and there's going to be a lot to cover. So yeah, with pleasure.
Have a great evening there, Alex. Take care. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Ivan. Take care. Bye.